Ryan was the chaser. He pursued a nameless, faceless creature along the slippery corridors. Damp streamed down the rough-hewed walls of what seemed like an ancient mine. He was wounded. In the biting chill of the caves, Ryan could feel an ominous warmth clotted around his groin and lower stomach. He touched himself, reaching inside the coat. His fingertips, numb with cold, touched hot stickiness. There wasn't much pain, but a throbbing, pounding feeling lanced across his temples, and a sick dizziness. Two or three times, Ryan felt that he was going to lose his balance and fall in the slimy passages. But if he fell, then his prey would escape him. Or he would find that he had suddenly, inexplicably, become the prey himself. The shafts kept forking and dividing, yet he somehow always knew which trail to follow. Onward and downward, once having to use the rotting length of braided rope that clung to the one wall like a handrail. His hand gripped what he had thought was his Sig Sauer pistol, but a feeble, guttering lamp had revealed that the blaster in his right fist was really only a single-shot bolt-action 22. It was a chipmunk silhouette, a heavy, long-barreled pistol, almost unique in the bolt action for a hand blaster. It wasn't the kind of weapon that Ryan had ever carried before, hardly the sort of man-stopper that he needed for this subterranean chase. A black plastic box was hooked to the wall just ahead of him.
You have 4 minutes and 30 seconds to complete the test.
Ryan stopped and doubled over, being violently sick, his mouth flooding with the bitter taste of golden bile. He dropped to his hands and knees, pressing his forehead to the seeping walls of the corridor. It felt like someone had a fist knotted down on the sole of his guts, tugging and twining, trying to rip out the greasy loops of intestines. Ryan felt warm tears streaming down his stubbled cheeks, leaking under the eye patch, the salt stinging his skin. For a moment he stopped, battling the sickness. He paused in the dark stillness, waiting for his prey to give him some clue where it was lurking. But there was nothing. The blackness was filled with complex, shifting shapes. It was like being locked into the heart of a huge puzzle that had a simple solution. Once he had found the missing shapes, or were they symbols, and slipped them into the correct places in the puzzle, then everything would be all right. There was a bitter anger in Ryan's heart that threatened to become a scarlet mist that would shroud his brain and imperil all sense of balance and harmony.
Fire blast.
Things were getting worse. The sickness and dizziness pressed down on the unprotected surface of his brain. Blood trickled down his thighs into his combat boots, an icy feeling that seemed to be spreading from the gaping wound in his stomach. The floor dipped suddenly, and Ryan dropped, a jolting fall that felt like 50 feet. But common sense told him that it was probably no more than 8 or 10 feet. It was hard enough for him to lose his balance and to bang his elbow, a painful bone-scraping blow that triggered the reflexes in his fingers. They opened, and the unusual blaster spun away out of his grip. Ryan stayed where he was, crouched on hands and knees, slowly recovering from the shock of the fall. He reached out around him on the wet granite for the blaster, but it had totally disappeared in the blackness. Shakily, Ryan stood. He felt for the walls, finding one, then 4 or 5 paces off, the other one. Both were hacked from stone, both streaming from meltwater, as cold as whispered sin. Cautiously, he reached up into the singing space above his head, but there was no roof to be felt. He knew that he could never climb back up to the previous level, which meant that there was only one way to go, and that was onward. But now he was weaponless, and the tumble had stretched the torn lips of his gashed belly. The blood was flowing more quickly, and he had no way of checking it. You couldn't put a tourniquet on your own stomach.
Lonesome. Low down.
He wished that Christy were with him in the catacomb. The traitor always used to say that in a tight spot, 2 or 10 times as good as 1. Ryan blinked again, reaching to rub at his good eye. He pressed hard with his palm, expecting to see a dazzling array of silver and gold sparks flashing across the retina. But there was nothing. No reaction. Just blackness. He It felt like he was losing it. His senses were betraying him. Now the pain in his stomach was burning hot. The steady dribble of blood from the wound was bitterly cold, making it difficult for him to lift and lower his feet. But when he did, it was like walking across an infinite pavement of human eyeballs that squished and rolled under the soles of his boots, making him lose his balance. When Ryan brushed against the invisible wall, it wasn't hard stone like it had been before. Now, it was just like plunging his fingers into the rotting body of a flayed corpse. He had the horrible sensation of hundreds of blind maggots writhing in both hands.
Ryan.
The word sounded so very far away. The dizziness swept over Ryan like a great wave of nausea, bringing him again to his knees.
Oh. Come on, Ryan.
Ryan Carter.
Ryan's mouth was dust dry, and when he tried to speak, there was no sound.
Doom.